Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and today is one of my favorite shows of the month. We get our update from Juno Public Library with Grants and Marketing Coordinator Kate Inge. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Shelley.
And today you're here with Jen Walker, Community Outreach Assistant. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Jen, everybody knows Kate. Please tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. I work on the Outreach and Senior Services team, and so our job is to just make programs and events that reach out into the community and help bring anybody who has a barrier to coming to the library, make it easier. One of the things we do on our team a lot of, we do pop-up libraries. So we bring them to the senior center, a couple of the nursing homes, and housing facilities. So we'll actually bring books and a computer so we can check things out to people
really?
Who live in those areas. Yeah.
What a great service. I didn't even know you guys offered something
yeah.
like that. Do you have a lot of people who use that?
Yeah. The senior center one is by far our most popular. So a lot of people come to that one.
So since you guys are here from the library, I wanted to ask, what are you reading right now? Kate, you can start.
So I am reading the new book by Kate Atkinson, Transcription. And I just started it last night. And I've had a couple recommendations from other patrons that said it was really good. So I put it on hold to make sure I could read it. And it takes place like at two different time periods and like World War II, and then like 10 years later about a woman who kind of worked for the MI6. And I think she types up the transcriptions of a group that they're spying on and the ramifications of that. So I'm very excited to get into it.
That sounds thrilling.
Yes.
And how about you, Jen? What are you reading right now?
I'm reading a book called Forest Bathing, How Trees Can Help You Find Health and Happiness by Dr. Qing Li.
Wow. Any good?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. This is a doctor from Japan, and his specialty is forest medicine. And so he's actually conducted a bunch of scientific research to figure out why we feel so much better when we go to the woods. And so he found that it increased people's sleep and their quality of sleep, and it increased their immune system and the actual cells that are fighting either virus or cancer cells. And it also increases positive mood and feelings and decreases fatigue. So there's just lots of ways the forest helps. It's kind of cool.
That's interesting. I'm interested in the scientific basis of all that.
Yeah.
I mean, you do feel better in the woods. Do either of you get to contribute to the staff picks list on the at the library?
Yeah.
Cool.
Incidentally, speaking of staff picks, I put on Facebook, there's like two albums, one of staff's picks for fiction and nonfiction for 2018. So if you're looking for books that the staff read over 2018 and you're looking for some ideas, you can check out those two albums. And there was enough that I had to break it into fiction and nonfiction. So you can pick whichever one you like or look at them all and maybe find a new book to read this year.
That's pretty exciting. I know what I'll be doing after the show today. I just read a few good whodunits. The Death of Mrs. Westaway, that's by Ruth Ware. She did The Woman in Cabin 10. And I got a hold of the new, is it Leanne Moriarty? She did Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
The Nine Perfect Strangers. I read that over the weekend. And I just checked out the new Louise Penny. So.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Lots of time to read right now. Well, great. Thank you very much for those brief book reviews. All right. So one of the things you wanted to talk about today, and one of the reasons Jen's here, is the Where There's a Will, There's a Way program that's happening this month at the Valley Library. Jen, you want to tell us about that?
Sure. It's at the Valley Library from 11 to 12. And we've got a local lawyer, Vance Sanders, coming to talk about wills, why you need them, and what kind of things are important to consider in them. There's also this thing I know so little about, I think it's called probate in Alaska, where you can basically will your house to somebody without a will, and it also ends up costing your family a lot less. So he'll know a lot more about that than I do. Additionally, we have a legal forms database at the library now. All the forms are specific to Alaska, and I think it's pretty nifty because you pull up, for example, wills, and you can either download a Word or PDF of that document, and then it pre-fills. So you put your name in, and it pre-fills all the way through that form where your name would need to be. And it has a line for dependent. You put that name in, it pre-fills. So kind of coordinating between some of the resources the library has and then bringing in a local expert to help people know what they might need to do to make sure they've got a will.
That's pretty cool. That makes it really, really easy because it's quite an overwhelming sounding task.
Yes, yes, and affordable because the legal database is free.
That's those Gale legal forms accessible on the Juneau Public Library's website?
Yes.
They're front and center on the webpage, so if you find the webpage, you'll find it pretty easily. And when and where is this Where There's a Will, There's a Way?
So it is from 11 to 12, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on January the 26th at the Valley Library.
Who do you think should come to this?
Anybody who wants to know more about wills. I think in general, we think when we think of people who really should have wills, it would be parents because they want to make sure what if something happened to both of them, what would happen to their kids? Where would the kid go? Guardianship. And then everybody needs a will. But, you know, if you are, older in age, assumably, you might be a little more interested, but everybody needs a will.
So. I think that's a good point about parents. You know, if they don't have one by now, they probably should, just in case. You never know what's going to happen.
Get her done.
Yeah. And don't be afraid. And then there's another program, Social Security 101. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is, we actually get to video chat with the Social Security Administration person who helps people understand how to navigate that. We do need people to log into their Social Security account and print off their benefits sheet and bring it with them to the program. But that Social Security person is actually going to present information, and then there will be a Q&A at the end where like people can actually ask questions and get specific answers to their specific needs during the program.
And that's the 15th at noon on the at the downtown branch.
That's right. Yep, noon to 1:30.
I should probably go back and ask if there's anything that people need to bring to the Where There's a Will, There's a Way program.
Just themselves and maybe some idea of questions they might have. Yeah. But, yeah, no requirement for the Wills program. Just show up.
And the Social Security 101 is somebody present? Is there a presenter for that? Is it the same person?
It's a video presenter. So we actually get to, I'm going to use the word teleport in. there are several libraries who are attending all together throughout the state of Alaska. But she can hear and speak with all of us. So, yeah, if that makes sense, we will get to see her up on the screen and then talk to her through the video teleconferencing technology we have.
And as I'm sure it's free and open to everyone, is there a target audience that you're really hoping will hear this and make an effort to attend?
Anybody who's eligible for Social Security that isn't totally understanding their benefits. So that tends to be older people, but can also be people who are on disability.
Have either of you ever viewed this program before, the Social Security program?
This is the first time that I'm seeing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if the process is complicated, overwhelming, or it seems like it must be a little bit, or else we wouldn't be doing the 101.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a little overwhelming, but hopefully there's somebody who will know way more about Social Security than anybody and than we do working on the desk. And so that person will hopefully help make it so it's less overwhelming, because a lot of people ask us questions, like especially mm-hmm. now that it's like tax time, PFD time, maybe asking about health or like Social Security. And we would love to be able to answer. We're not experts. We don't know. We don't want to mess things up further for you. So it's always nice when we can bring in an expert who actually can answer questions for people who want to come in.
We actually just had a patron last week tell us she spent 6 hours on hold with a friend helping her try to figure out her Social Security benefits. So hopefully this would circumvent some unpleasant experience such as that.
Well, it sounds like a great start, and thank you for offering that to our community.
You're welcome.
All right, Kate, what else is going on at the library this month that you want people to know about?
We have Telebration coming up.
Telebration?
Telebration, yeah. We have this the story time program that is coming up in a couple, actually next week? No, this week. On the 12th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, where am I? What's going on?
Saturday.
Yeah,
right?
Saturday, yeah. And it's going to be at the Valley Library, and it's going to start at 6:30. And we know that, like, the Valley Library will closes at 6 on Saturday. So there will be like a little bit of overlap where things kind of get shut down. The library gets kind of not put away, but like locked up and secure. And then right before the program, will like the doors will reopen and people can come in and have a nice like 6:30 to 8 storytelling program that they can hear stories from.
I like the name. Yeah. It's catchy.
Yeah. It's like, we did not come up with a name. That's it's a group that came up with it. But yeah, it's a nice name.
All right. And I saw on the website there's a poetry writing workshop with Emily Wall on the 20th. Do you want to add anything about that?
I think that is going to be in conjunction with the Poetry Omnibus. So okay. I think they're both happening at the same time. And that's what this is going on. And that's a youth services program. So if anybody has questions, they can call the library and ask for MJ.
Okay. And Rock Around the Blocks is coming up at the end of the month,
yeah.
I think.
So we have Friends of the Library has provided a whole bunch of different blocks. Like we have Legos and Duplos, and there's a whole bunch of fancy ones that since I don't have kids, I have no idea what they're actually called.
Even, I don't know what Duplos
are.
Know,
yeah. But we have all these blocks provided, and one of our youth services librarians will be working on that Saturday, and they'll just put everything out. And you can feel free to bring your kids by, and you can have like a little bit of fun at the library. It's depending on the weather. It still probably will be cold or dark or snowy, so you can get a little bit of fun in, get some books, and then go home.
Sounds great. Kate, Jen, anything else you want to mention while you're here? Library happenings for the month of January?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, just to recap, Social Security 101 is Tuesday, January 15th, and at 12 o'clock downtown. And Where There's a Will, There's a Way is Saturday, January 26th, 11 o'clock at the Valley Library. Thank you both so much for being here.
Right. Thanks, Shelley.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell. Don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind. I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
Support comes from Northland Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center, information at 789-6780 or at northlandaudiology.com.
Do you have Marketplace insurance with Blue Cross? Here are some tips. Set up an automatic payment plan so you don't miss a payment and lose coverage. If your income changes, update your Marketplace account right away to avoid owing taxes at the end of the year. Send in all requested documents. If you run into problems with the Marketplace, we can help. Call Search Outreach for free assistance at 966-8662. We serve everyone.
You're tuned in to Juno Afternoon. It's about 22, almost 23 minutes after the top of the hour, and my next guest is Brenda Wright from the Juno Audubon Society, and you brought your friend with us today, Jack Crienheader?
Crienheader,
sorry.
No problem.
I should have asked before we went on air. Brenda, thanks for being here. You're the program chair of Juno Audubon. Tell us a little bit about the Audubon Society and what's going on.
Yeah, nice to see you again, Shelley.
Nice to see you.
Merry New Year. Our Juno Audubon Society is a group that likes to promote education and information about wildlife of all sorts, but we do specialize in birds. And so we were a little bit disappointed that this government shutdown actually canceled our scheduled meeting that was going to be on golden eagle research in Alaska. But we were very, very lucky to get Jack to substitute for us. He's a great storyteller.
I'm sure that you are, Jack, and I'm eager to hear all about Antarctica at solstice. Your original speaker was a fish and game.
Yeah, Fish and Wildlife Service.
Fish and Wildlife.
Mm-hmm. Federal government, yep.
Well, that's too bad, but I think that Jack's talk is going to be pretty awesome. So, Jack, you're a world traveler and photographer, and you've just returned from Antarctica. Was it your first time visiting that continent?
It was, yes, and I have to give a little shout out to my wife, Amy, for making this trip happen now. I, you know, had thought about Antarctica and wanted to go some point in the future, but she was the one who said, well, why not do it now or next year at the time? We actually booked the trip about 18 months in advance.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they fill up, you know, it's kind of limited capacity, so the trips can fill up a year or more in advance. But anyway, yes, first time in Antarctica. We left, you were asking before about how long it takes to get down there. So our trip, we went by ship from the town of Ushuaia, which is at the very, very southern tip of South America in southern Argentina. And so we were on the ship for 10 days. Takes 2 days. They kind of joke about it on the boat about the price of admission to Antarctica is crossing the Drake Passage, which is fairly famous in maritime circles for storms and rough weather. So it's 2 days to get down there and 2 days to get back, but. Anyway, I'll stop there, and you can take over with the questions.
So how long did it take to get from Juneau to the southern tip of Argentina?
We were traveling about 2 days, Juneau to Seattle, Seattle to Dallas, Dallas nonstop to Santiago, Chile, the capital of Chile, where it was midsummer and 85 degrees. So
lovely.
we did get a little hot summer weather, and even if it wasn't hot in Antarctica, and then a charter flight down to Ushuaia. So a fair bit of traveling.
And then how was the Drake Passage?
Well, as the captain described it and our trip leader, it was medium spicy, which translates to seas of 20 to 25 feet. So the boat was definitely rocking and rolling. We were on a Lindblad expeditions trip, and on the National Geographic Orion was the ship, and it's 330 some feet long. And I was telling Brenda earlier that we were glad it wasn't any shorter. You know, it was nice being on a boat that size. So we didn't get seasick, but it was a little hard to sleep the first night because you're rolling around in bed a little bit. But just 2 days there, and then the second day was a little smoother. And once you get to the Antarctic Peninsula, there's a lot of islands offshore, and you're in relatively sheltered waters, kind of like in southeast here. Yeah. So it was fine once we got down there.
Well, that part alone sounds like quite the adventure. But then you had Antarctica to explore. Did you ever set foot on land?
Yes, definitely. Most days we did two landings. So the ship was equipped with Zodiac boats, and so we'd normally do a landing in the morning for a couple hours and a landing in the afternoon. It is highly regulated down there just to protect the environment and the penguin colonies and the other wildlife. So all the boats are there's a whole permit process, and they can't just take people ashore kind of willy-nilly. It all has to be arranged in advance. But, yeah, so that was definitely the highlight was getting ashore.
Excellent. You were there for their solstice. So we just had winter solstice here, and they just had summer solstice there. So how much daylight did you have?
Well, it was getting dark. It never got dark. The sun did go down. We didn't make it because of ice conditions. It's pretty rare until the end of their season, end of their summer in, say, February, that the ice conditions break up enough to get all the way down to the Arctic Circle where the sun wouldn't actually set. But it was the sun was going down maybe at 11:30 and coming back up at 2. So it's kind of like it would be maybe up in Fairbanks, something like that. So never got dark. The weather, even though it was midsummer there, the temperature averaged probably in the mid-30s. We just had one day of full sun, and I don't know. I still don't think it got out of the 30s, but in the bright sun was fairly warm. And the other days were cooler. We had snow off and on a couple of days. But so it's midsummer is still what most people would consider, you know, winter for us up here.
That's so interesting. And was there any chance of seeing the Southern Lights?
No, same as here in the summer. It's just too light. You'd have to be there in the dead of winter.
So let's talk about what you saw. I know that the presentation that you're giving Thursday night is it's not totally focused on birds, but you saw quite a few penguins. So would you talk about that, please?
Sure. Well, I guess starting with in terms of birds, starting with the Drake Passage crossing, that was one of the cool things about the crossing was the ship was being followed the whole way down pretty much by a lot of seabirds, two or three different kinds of albatrosses, and which were quite large birds, 6 or 7 foot wingspan, as well as some smaller seabirds. And so that was fun to watch them kind of gliding and surfing on the big waves.
Why were they following the boat?
I was talking to one of the naturalists about it. She said it's a combination that the boat, you know, even though the albatrosses and the other birds can, they do something called dynamic soaring, where they can soar on the wind and waves without having to flap their wings. So they can do that without a boat, but the boat, they kind of take advantage of the wind blowing over the boat to save even more energy. And then the other thing is the boat you know, can the boat wake can churn up some little krill and food in the water for them. So that's the other reason.
Well, they sound like pretty impressive birds.
Yes. So, and then on to Antarctica. When we did get down there, one of the highlights of the trip was the first night was completely clear and with an almost full moon about to set. And so the captain, we kind of arrived down to the Antarctic Peninsula in the late evening and had dinner, and we could see some islands and big icebergs. We were still a ways offshore, and most people went to bed about 10 o'clock. And then the captain woke us up with a general announcement at midnight saying that we'd arrived in the Antarctic Sound heading for the Weddell Sea, and that it was so beautiful that we really all should get up and enjoy it. and so we did. All 100 of us passengers on the ship all got up, or almost all of us anyway. And the other thing he said was, you know, you never know. This could be our only clear weather. And so that was just beautiful twilight light and penguins on lots of the icebergs. And then we kind of stopped in an area with some thicker ice, and we're soon surrounded by about half a dozen humpback whales that were feeding right next to the boat. So that was another highlight.
That sounds so beautiful. My scalp's tingling a little bit. I can almost picture it. And then you mentioned you saw some penguins, 4 different types. There's some photos on our website, ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Do you know what type of penguin that is in the photograph?
Yes, the one in, I think you might have 2 or 3 photos up there. They're all the same photo, just zoomed in a little closer so you can see the penguin there. And that one is a chinstrap penguin, which was the one we saw the least of. We just saw a handful of them on this beach on Deception Island. So most of the penguins we saw were Adelie penguins and Gentoo penguins. And they're kind of medium-sized penguins, not as big as the king or emperor penguins. And the Adelies and Gentoos are maybe 18 inches to 2 feet high, for so cute little guys and girls waddling down the beach.
Did you learn much about their way of life?
We did. The boat had several good naturalists on board who specialized in, you know, different aspects of the whales and seals or the penguins or the birds. And so, yeah, we did learn quite a bit about their way of life and some of the challenges they're facing. There's been some issues with overfishing of krill down there, which we have in Alaska. When the humpback whales are here in the summer, they feed on herring as well, but also on krill, which are little shrimp-like creatures. And so there's been some issues in Antarctica with overfishing of the krill affecting the penguin populations, or they believe that's the cause. So the Adelie penguins in particular have some of their rookeries have suffered some pretty major population declines. So that's something that they're studying down there. And fortunately, they've been able to get a handle. Antarctica is kind of governed by an international group. You know, nobody owns Antarctica, although a couple of countries lay claim to parts of it, Chile and Argentina. But this group, fortunately, they've been able to put some limits on the krill fishing, so hopefully that will avoid additional impacts.
Did you see other wildlife apart from birds, whales, and penguins? Do you see seals?
We did see quite a few seals. A few types down there. Weddell seals were the main ones. One group saw a leopard seal from their boat. We didn't see that one. And then we had a very close encounter with a juvenile elephant seal who was on the beach when we landed some distance away, but he was very curious and headed over and then decided he wanted to take a nap on our pile of life jackets. You have to wear life jackets coming and going in the Zodiac. So we had a big – they had bins full of life jackets. So he promptly tipped them over and decided to take a nap on the life jackets. So
I hope you got some photos of that.
Yes, yes.
Elephant seals are so weird.
The birds, whales, seals, that was the main part of it. Another – kind of cool thing about the trip was they had a couple of divers on board, naturalist divers, and they didn't go diving every day, but I think during the 6 or so days we were in Antarctica, I think they did 3 dives. And so in the evenings, they'd take video while they're diving underwater and then edit it and show the underwater footage in the evening. So that was neat to be able to see the underwater world as well.
Wow, that is just so fascinating, Jack. I could probably listen to you talk all afternoon, but you're actually going to be talking to an audience on January 10th, and that program's at 7 o'clock at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall, room 112. Brenda, do you want to mention anything else about that talk?
As usual, our Juneau Audubon Society talks are the second Thursday of each month, and so in February it's going to be Valentine's Day, February 14th. So come and have a chocolate heart. But our talk that day will be on goats in Southeast Alaska by Kevin White.
Great. And Jack, your talk is mostly going to be photographs and stories from your trip. Is that right?
Yeah, a mix of stills and video. I took both. So, and my wife Amy Carroll is also contributing some stills and video photos too. So.
Do you feel like it changed your life going to Antarctica?
it was a pretty amazing experience. I'll put it that way.
Brenda, have you ever seen a penguin in the wild?
Never in the wild.
Do you want to go to Antarctica?
Well, at least Galapagos. It's a little warmer there.
you can see penguins in the Galapagos, can't you?
Okay. Brenda and Jack, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Shelley.
You're very welcome.